Chris.
Hello. Hi. This is Ava. Who's in?
This is Chris Batista.
Oh, Chris. Hi.
Hi there.
Okay. You are early, and we're waiting for everybody else.
Okay, that's fine. I'm using this technology. I'm never quite sure if it's going to work right the first time, so turns out it did, so I'm a little early.
It's okay. So I've been wondering, you're the one who moved to Portland, right? Am I right?
Very good. You are correct.
Yes. Okay. Have you met anybody from Digital Air yet? I wish I knew more people. I had more people to introduce you to, but we just didn't have any.
Yeah. Many. unfortunately, not yet. Although the fellow who is listed as living in Lake Oswego, lives and works in Europe.
Yeah, Germany, right? Charles.
Yeah, we thought we might be in the same. Have intersected somewhere. It turns out we didn't. On the other hand, in the little chit-chat section I had with him, I said I had been on vacation in Maui, and he said, "That's where I grew up."
Oh, my goodness, that's interesting.
we've been carrying on quite a nice little conversation, and that's thanks to you.
Well, that's good. I hope you do get to meet at some point. I don't know if he ever comes back to Oregon or not, or if he's, you know, permanently, what do they call those, expats?
Yeah, it sounded like it was pretty permanent.
Yeah.
But somewhere along the way, it's such a small world.
I'll remember. If anybody comes up, I'll let you know.
Great. I did get invited to an HP Corvallis, Oregon get together in July. So that's about an hour and a half drive from Portland. So I'm not sure I'm going to
that,
but it's nice to know that I could.
Yes, certainly. I guess it would be more HP folks from being at least Northern California is at least a lot closer.
Right. Right. Yep. So, how many folks are registered for today?
Well, I had 18 people registered, although some of the people who are the board direct volunteers, I don't think they're going to come, but I registered them anyway. But I don't know. We did have 18 people registered, so I'm hoping we'll have a good group. Good size group for Rita. Hi, who just signed in?
This is Rita.
Oh, good. Hi, Rita. This is Ava, and the only other person who's early is Chris Batista from Portland,
okay,
Oregon.
Great. Great. Hi, Chris.
Hi there. Nice to nice to hear a real person in real time.
One of my co-authors is wanting to retire to Portland, Oregon.
Oh, well, I'd be happy to chat with that person.
Thank you. Thank you. She loves it there. It's like her spiritual center.
it's a lot different than Boston.
I bet.
Well, I guess it looks like we're going to have to give people an extra five or ten minutes to get here. Good evening. This is Ava. Who just logged in, please?
Hey, Ava. It's Byron Garvey. How are you?
Oh, great, Byron. How are you? Doing well, I hope?
Yeah, I'm doing just fine.
Great. Let's see. Rita's on the phone, and so far also Chris Batista. Byron is from Texas. I forgot which city. Around Dallas, was it?
Yeah. Old
yeah,
UCS
okay.
Guy. You okay with all the storms?
Yeah. We just got a little bit of rain. Where I live, my family, they live around the area. The tornadoes just hit really, Arlington, just certain spots around town. And the best part about the whole thing is nobody died, and it's pretty amazing.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah, right. Well, let's see. Rita and Byron, you were both, if I remember correctly, you were both members of the sales force at Digital. I think I remember Byron being a salesperson in the group I was in. I was in the healthcare marketing group for many years, and I think I had met Byron there as a salesperson.
Yeah. Gosh, I mean, I had so many different jobs. I'm trying to remember the I was in healthcare. I did a lot of BCS.
Yeah.
Dan Brennan, Joe Nadler, remember Joe?
Sure. Oh, I remember the name, yeah.
John Montesian. I'm trying to think of the healthcare folks I worked with. But I just, you know, Meditech and Cerner and SMS,
yeah.
All those guys.
Yep.
Bob.
Hi, Bob. Bob is treasurer of our Debt Connection organization. And let's see, who else just logged in or phoned in?
This is Ed Manning.
Ah, hi, Ed. Welcome. We have a few others on the call so far. We'll wait five more minutes to, since we had about 18 people signing up, and right now I think we have five. So we'll give it a little bit longer before we get started.
I got to say a quick hello to Ed. Hey, Ed, it's Byron Garvey. How you doing?
Hey, Byron. Good to hear your voice, buddy.
Yeah, I saw E. Dot Manning. I was hoping that was you, and I see at HP, so you're still hanging in there.
hanging is very apropos, yes.
Did all of you receive the slides that Rita asked me to forward the other night?
Yeah. Yes, I did.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, great. Hi. Sherry, hi. How are you?
Good.
Great. Anybody else just signed in? I thought I heard two beeps.
Susan
Sparks. Hi.
Hi.
Great. We're quickly building up to a critical mass here. 1, 2, 3. We can give it a couple more minutes for people to log in here before we start.
Susan Sparks, this is Chris Batista joining on the call. Nice to hear your voice.
Hi, Chris. How are you?
Just fine, thank you.
On the other side of the world, right?
Yep.
All right. I think we should get started. We have more than half of the people have signed up here. So let me just quickly introduce Rita. For those of you who didn't know her digital, she was a star contributor in the Salesforce for 17 years between 1982 and 1999, where she earned the honor of being Digital's first female sales vice president, which is very impressive to me. And since then, Lauren furthered her success as she was recently the president of a consumer packaging company, and she now serves on the as a board director on several boards, and has a consulting business which is a partnership between herself and her three co-authors of Reboot Your Life. So, Rita, we appreciate your sharing your expertise with us, and anxious to hear what you have to say.
Thank you. Thank you very much, and hello to everybody. It's fun reconnecting with people. For those of you who have slides in front of you, I'm going to tell lots of stories in between these very brief slides, but if you turn to the first one, it just says, why are you here? And several of you are still working for HP or other companies, and you might be stressed out or overwhelmed from work, or you might be perfectly happy with work, but you just yearn to take some time off for either yourself or your family. Some of you may be in between jobs. Some of you may be thinking, you know, it's close to retirement time. What's your next passion? Because we're all going to be kicking and doing well probably into our 90s. Some are retired already and saying, you know, what's this about? You know, I'm already living the lifelong sabbatical. But there's still ways to pursue your passion and even take a break from that. Some of you may have kids who will approach you one day and say, hey, mom and dad or aunt so-and-so, I'm thinking of quitting my job to travel around the world for 3 months. And you'll say, are you crazy in this economy? And hopefully this will broaden your perspective before you say, are you crazy? And some of you run companies that I would, it's not going to be a too much of this call, but we can in the Q&A. We offer workshops, my co-author and I, for individuals as well as companies, and we consult with corporations about setting up sabbatical programs because we are just adamant that they are one of the best development tools a corporation can offer. But we'll come back to that. If you turn to the next slide, why am I here? It's because Ava invited me. Thank you. But it's because I and my about one of the best kept secrets. We are on a mission to get every working person at some point in their career, and preferably a few times, to take some time off, to give yourself permission, which for something seems selfish, you know, gosh, in this economy or with other people, you know, how can I do this? You know, you're the most important person. If you think about it, we reboot our PCs, we tune up our car, we go, most of us, for health physicals, but we don't ever do anything for our spirit. And we're the most important assets to our companies, and the most important being to our family and our loved ones. So, you know, we're on a mission to talk about why downtime is important and how time off is really time on, and it's time on yourself. I met in a conference just by chance. I happened to sit at a table with three strangers, and we were in Vieques, and the first person started off by saying she ran a financial services consortium, which all the major banks in the country belong to. And she said, I'm burnt out, and I just want to take a couple months off. And being the bashful person I am, I turned to her and said, you can't do that. And she said, why not? And I said, because you need to take 6 months off. The next person was former Bush Senior's National Security Advisor, State Department, Defense Department, doing a lot of work in a conflict resolution for not-for-profits. And she said, well, I totally agree. I've taken several sabbaticals, and you need to take 6 months off. And it got round to me, and I said, well, it's funny we're talking about this. I've taken three, and I'm about to take my fourth. And then the fourth person, who runs her own coaching and facilitation business, said, I wouldn't be running this company, which I love, if I hadn't taken a year-long sabbatical from a company I started. And so a year, fast forward a year later, we kept in touch a bit. Fast forward a year later, we were at the same conference in another country, and one person said, let's get together, see how we're doing. And as we were talking, we realized that we had enormous experience and that it's lonely out there for someone thinking, you know, do I dare take this leap? So we decided to write a book. We interviewed over 300 men and women around the world for the book. We researched over 100 corporations, who offers programs and why. And the book was published in April. And we took a while to publish the book because the publishing industry was terrible. And in that time, we said, how else can we get this message out? And we started offering workshops about 3.5 years ago, small, intimate workshops for individuals. So now we have the data of all the people who have come to workshops, also included in our work. If you turn to the next page, it's just a little bit of a repeat of my objective, is to help you see the benefits of taking a break, see it as a gift. I'd like to make you all part of the reboot movement. And what I also want to provide something practical for you to take away. I'm not saying that everyone can take a break right now. You can at some point. But I also want to give you something practical this evening that will be fun just to use in your regular life and as you learn to live the lifelong sabbatical. If you turn to the next page, we have so many quotes, but one of our favorite quotes is, live if you will die tomorrow and learn as if you will live forever. I want to tell you a little story of I guess, when sabbaticals first got planted in my mind, maybe subconsciously. I don't know how many of you remember Bill Johnson, not the network Bill Johnson, but the semiconductor Bill Johnson. He was the guy that ran Semiconductor the couple years up until we were launching Alpha. And I had a chance to get to know him. We went to ANSIAD together. Fantastic person, have enormous respect for him. And about a year and a half before he took a sabbatical, he told us that he had told his boss, or I guess it was, you know, Bob Palmer at the time, whoever it was, that he was taking 2 months off just before the Alpha was launching. And I burst into hysterics and laughed at his face and said, ah, ha, ha, you're kidding, aren't you? And he said, no, I'm dead serious. I do this every 5 years. I take my kids, and we go over to Europe, and we're going to go to museums, and this is an important value for me. And I said, are you crazy? You know, you're launching the Alpha within a couple of months. You can't do that. He said, if I can't do that, then I shouldn't be running semiconducting. He said, my job is to build a robust organization where people, you know, work collaboratively and step up. And you know, within a year, he'd remind his boss again, you know, that he was leaving. And then within 6 months, he'd say, by the way, in 6 months, here's the plan. And then with 3 months, you know, again, people didn't take him seriously, but he did. He ended up, just before the Alpha was launched, taking 2 months off in the summer and then coming back to what, you know, was a very, very successful, you know, revolutionizing technology advancement. So if you turn to the next page, every single person we interviewed said they were a better person, they were a better employer, they were a better leader, they were a better spouse, parent, they were a better lover. They felt clearer, healthier, more resilient, and I could go on and on and on with the benefits. If you turn to the next slide, a quote from Anne Morrow Lindbergh, when one is a stranger to oneself, one is estranged from others too. Most of us work, I don't know, 12, 16-hour days, and we're in react mode, and it's go, 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 go. And when we do have some downtime, it's for our family first or our kids first, and the last person who gets any attention is yourself. We found from the people we interviewed that when they did take time off, it was interesting that a pattern arose of how they divided their time. And there seem to be four phases of a reboot break. The first one we call clearing space. And it's doing all the things you haven't done for years just to get things sorted so you then feel you can enjoy the rest of your time. So it could be cleaning out the garage. It could be painting the basement. It could be, if you're not in the digital age, sorting your photos. It's going to all the doctor's appointments. There may be some people on the call who have had sabbaticals, and you know may concur with that. But one of the things we noticed in the first 30 days, and it could be in the first week, don't be surprised if this is something you've been yearning for and you actually are physically sick. Think about how many times have you gone on a vacation, and you're so excited to be on vacation, and you get on vacation and suddenly that cold comes on, or suddenly you get sick. And what happens is we have wonderful defense systems. Our adrenaline is running when we need it to. But when we let it relax, it shows what it's masking. Well, the same thing happened to many people who were taking sabbaticals. They also went through withdrawals. They sort of said, gosh, I didn't get as many emails, or it was a strange time. And some people actually, felt a physical detoxing. The second phase of taking time off is expansion. It's when people reconnected with friends and family. People said things like, my friends reminded me who I was. You know, even though I hadn't seen them in 20 years, I got together with them and reminded me of my core. Many people in their own hometown go to museums or places they haven't seen in 20 years or places they've never been. Some people get back to a sport. In fact, almost everybody got in some form of physical shape, whether it was yoga, golf, tennis, running, walking. It's a time to again, care for oneself. That's feeling pretty good. So the third phase of a sabbatical is exploration, which is maybe I've tried a new course close at home, but, I've always wanted to visit Italy, and I've always wanted to take a cooking class, or I've always wanted to do a volunteer project in a third world country or whatever. And many people, some take courses or do fun things near home, but many use that time to travel. And the fourth phase is reentry. And this is a time when you have spent a lot of time with yourself, which we never do. How can you know what are your true passions and interests if we don't spend some quiet time with ourselves? And it's time when you take all that you've learned and all the fun that you've had and said, okay, now I'm ready to either go back to my existing job in a new way, or I want to transition to something new. And in that chapter of the book, we talk about reentry and whether it's to an existing company or a new company. I'm not spending a lot of time on this, but I can go back into any of those stages if you want. But often we found that the people who went back to the same company went back more strategic. They delegated more. They collaborated more. They, less having to be command and control. They were happier in the work that they did. Those who went on to new passions said, it was only when I took time stepping away did I realize that I'm really unhappy in this, or this isn't optimizing my skill set, and this is what I really have a passion to do. Some on the reentry stage went to friends or strangers or companies and said, one person we know went to a wine company in California and said, may I work for you for free for 3 months? I just want to be in this environment and see what it's like. She hated her corporate law job. They ended up hiring her as general counsel at the end. Another person who was in high-tech industry, always using the left brain, terrific business person, said, I am so burnt out, I want to spend some time around some creative people. And for her sabbatical, she went to three different creative companies. One's a design firm, one does creativity workshops, and one is like a futurist think tank, and said, can I volunteer for you. All three have offered her jobs, and you know, she has left her previous company as the COO. She's returned as a consultant 20 hours a week and does consulting for these other firms as well, and is happy as can be. If you turn to the next slide, just some Gallup poll statistics, and there's so much more that we could have pulled out. But 28% of people leave their job because of dissatisfaction. It doesn't have to be that way. 20% currently want to change their careers. That figure's about a year old, so it's probably up. 40% express burnout. 30% of illnesses are caused by stress and being out of sync. And unfortunately, baby boomers like us can't retire. I'm assuming many of us are baby boomers. We're re-careering. And that means the Gen X can't move up, and they want new options. And the Gen Y, you know, on multiple surveys, they will tell you they want time off before they want more money. They just want more from life. And you will see, whereas we stayed, some of the people on this call have probably been with DEC HP for, you know, 35, 40 years. Most of us stayed with companies for a very long time. Gen Y isn't going to do that. They find it normal to say, I've loved working here for 3 years. I've contributed. I'm now going to take 4 months off for myself, and then I'll figure out the next. Companies are figuring this out. 21 of the Fortune magazine's 100 best companies to work for now offer formal sabbatical programs. I'd like to see it be 100, but that's huge that it's even being tracked and that 21 of them do. We list in our book about 150 companies that offer formal sabbatical programs. I'll share just one, which I love, is Intel. Intel's had a program for about 10 years. Anyone want to guess how many sabbaticals they've granted in the 10 years? No? Okay. It's mandatory. From the CEO on down for U.S. employees, they've granted over 65,000 sabbaticals.
Wow.
Their sabbatical program is that every 7 years, you must take 2 months off. And most people add their four-week vacation to make it 3 months. No permission. You simply tell your boss, hey, this is my sabbatical year, and this is when I'm planning on leaving. It is so ingrained in the culture that people talk about it in the lunchrooms, and we have interviewed several managers, individuals who are there now, a couple individuals who have since left, and we interviewed head of HR. I'll give you an example. The head of HR, they divide their HR. They have an HR head of creation and a head of delivery. When the head of creation went out on sabbatical, the head of delivery stepped into her job, and then several other people beneath her stepped into her role. So you can imagine the huge reciprocity that is built. And this person said to me, you know, I and my team can create the best HR programs in the world, but if they can't be easily rolled out globally, then it's for naught. And being in the job, think of the psychological reciprocity, or instead of, you know, on a piece of paper determining if someone is ready for promotion or stepping into a new role, you get to actually see them perform. It enriches people's jobs. It causes teams to work more in a team fashion. I interviewed one guy who said he was ready to quit, but his wife reminded him that his sabbatical was the following year. Why don't you stick around one more year? And I interviewed her afterwards, and she said, you know what, he used to come home grumbling about his job, this and that. And she said, when he got back, God forbid anybody say anything bad about Intel. He realized it wasn't the job. His job was perfectly fine. He just yearned to, you know, he'd been doing this for years. He yearned to take some time off to do something different. In his case, he and his wife traveled two of the 3 months around the world. So that's just one example of a corporation that gets it and thinks not only is it a great retention tool, but it's a terrific tool for building management succession and building breadth and depth and capacity within the organization. So back to just some fun things you can start with, even if you're not ready to take a reboot break. We encourage people in our workshops to start with some small risks. So if you turn to the page that says, five things. This is something I encourage each of you. It's a fun thing. I do it every time we offer a new workshop. I do this for myself. Take any five things and write a list of, you know, things you've never done before. It could be in your own town. What are five museums you've never visited before? Maybe you like to cook. It might be, what are five things I've never tried to cook? Or what are five foods I've never tasted? Or five restaurants I've never been to? Maybe five movies you wouldn't normally consider. Five different ways to walk or drive to work. What are five weekend trips you'd like to do? I mean, you can read the list here. You can go on and on and on. Maybe you want to put, what are five ways to use my left brain instead of my right? You know, what are five golf courses I've never played in? And you start to realize that we get stuck in our ways, and no matter what stage we are in life, we can always put a little bit of fun and a little bit of risk-taking in it. Another exercise I want to leave with you and encourage you to do is called the goal circle. And if you turn to the next page, it's actually not drawn correctly. If you were to look at your current life and take a circle and divide it into major chunks, work, family, volunteer, sports, you know, whatever are the key things in your life, I suspect that many of you would have one wedge that is three quarters of the circle that says work. And then the last wedge would be divided maybe in three for family, sports, and volunteer or something else. I encourage you, if you turn to the next slide, to take five. By the way, you can divide this into 10 wedges. You can divide it into eight. You might want to start simply with six. And say, you know, for this year, we happen to do this at New Year's each year, but what are the major chunks in your life right now? It could be finance. It could be health. It could be spirituality. It could be renovating your home. It could be children. It could be romance. Work is clearly one of them for people working. Pick what are the key wedges in your life. And then on the next page, it says in each wedge underneath that, add five specific things you're going to do. So if it is exercise, not I'm going to get in shape or I'm going to eat better food. It's I'm going to do Pilates two times a week, or I am going to, you know, turn to vegetarian food for four meals out of seven a week, or 4 days out of seven. Wherever you can be very specific, put down five specific goals. You'll find for the things you do regularly, work, maybe finances, you know, it might be easy. For the thing that's hardest for you, I don't know, maybe it's romance or something else, you'll find you'll struggle filling out the five things. But the reason we do this in a circle rather than the standard New Year's goal where you know, write down three things and then, you know, every year it's get in shape and the same things on the next year, is we want you to look at your life holistically, that it's work, it's friends, it's families, it's whatever your wedges are, and have equal goals in each. You can see where I filled in one and just gave some examples. It could be culture. It could be community. It could be time to think. I mean, it's whatever you want to put in there and however many wedges you have. But people have a lot of fun filling this out and then going back, you know, 6 months later and taking a look and seeing how they did against it and at the end of the year. And if you only did 80%, that's fabulous. But it gives you a goal of planning. I'll go back and tell a story again. I don't know how many people remember Jan and Rod Tuttle, but they were retiring at the age of 40, and I thought I would flip. I said, they're retiring at the age of 40? And they had a goal to go off sailing. They sold their house and got on a boat and sailed around the world, and I lost touch with them after a couple of years. But a few of us went to a going-away party for Jan. And don't know if you folks remember Kathy Hornbach, who was in strategic planning. But turns out she used to teach a course on the five-year plan. And I'm at dinner at Paparazzi's or someplace, and everyone's saying, well, I'm 3 years into my plan, I'm 2 years into my plan, I'm 4 years into my plan, and I start to twitch, and I'm saying, what plan? And it was a similar concept to this, but in their case, it was about retirement. And it was a holistic look at, you have a five-year plan to build towards it. Whether you retire or not is irrelevant, but it gives you a five-year plan should you want to. And it includes, you know, communication to your family. It includes, you know, a wedge on finances. It includes what would you have to do to start exploring new activities you'd do after the work you're leaving. What would you have to do at work? Whatever, you know, your plan is. And I was so struck by that, that I did that myself, so that my last sabbatical, which was 8 years ago, after it, I was able to retire and turn into a portfolio career. So as Ava said, I spend one-third of my time on not-for-profit work, which is my passion. I spend a third of my time on corporate boards, and I also coach qualified people how to get on corporate boards. And I spend a third of my time having fun. And in the having fun is lots of travel and writing this book. So it's funny how when I reflect back how many digital people in my 17 years there, people I didn't know all that well, really profoundly influenced me. If you turn to the slide on reminder time off benefits, I don't want to read each one of these, but I will tell you that many people found that they did love their work, or that maybe they didn't love it, but it's as good as any other job. And they learned how to come back and do it better and be more balanced. When you're taking time off, you learn new skills. Just the thought time. We encourage people to journal when they take time off. It's better, it's cheaper than a shrink. And you get to write, you know, how you handled things the day before, or just any thoughts that are coming from your mind. Reconnecting with people and events and activities that you were missing. Maybe you get back to tennis that you haven't done in years. Just reminds you what's important in your life. Definitely gives you a chance to recharge your batteries. Gives you new perspectives, and, you know, on and on and on. Next slide, the biggest adventures you can take is to live the life of your dreams. We have a chapter in the book called Living the Lifelong Sabbatical. And that's what I hope that all of you will be able to do with your life. I'm going to end just before the Q&A. We do offer retreats, and they're across the country. Next one is in Santa Fe in June. These are for 8 to 10 people max at a time. They're fabulous. People love them. People say this is a watershed event, and we've got one in Cape Cod and one in the Berkshires, should you know anyone that's interested. But I am, you know, within, I don't know how many minutes I've just taken, just covered 4 years of work, probably in a terrible way. So what I'd much rather do is open it up for people's comments or questions or dialogue.
Rita, this is Sherry. I have a question.
Yes. Hi, Sherry.
Hi. When you're talking to people about going on sabbaticals, the topic of finances must come up often. How do you approach that?
Thank you, Sherry. Yeah, I skipped over the beginning chapters of the book, the third and fourth. One is on planning and the importance of planning. By the way, of every single person we interviewed, we kept looking for negatives. We couldn't find a single negative about their sabbatical, except many people said they wish they had started planning earlier, even 2 years in advance. But the most important topic, and we have a chapter just for it, is finances. And there's a couple ways of thinking of finances. One is we encourage you, again, if you're doing your planning a year in advance, to set up a sabbatical fund. Think of how many things, I'm not against Starbucks, it happens to be my favorite coffee, but, you know, at $4.57 a cup of coffee, imagine if you cut back, you know, four a week, or you could pick anything you have. Imagine how quickly the savings build. You know, how many times can you get one more pair of socks for Christmas or Hanukkah, and maybe, or another, you know, blue sweater? You might want to turn to friends and family and say, you know, for my birthday or for holidays, would you contribute to my sabbatical fund? Just building a budget of putting some money aside is one thing we encourage you. We also have talked to some people who have approached their company and have said, if I'm planning on taking time off next year, would you pay me just 3/4 or would you pay me 80%? Because I still want to be paid when I'm taking my time off. That obviously helps you with cash flow and taxes for the year that you're paying less on the 80% year, and it helps smooth things out. Some people use a windfall. You know, some people use if they've left the company and there's some types of severance. But we also interviewed people who had no money, and believe it or not, a sabbatical can. It's much better if you have money, but you can finance it. Some of the ways that or can be self-financing. If you have an apartment or a home, you can rent that, or you know these homes that you can swap homes. You can either rent it or swap homes with people, and we list there on our website, which is rebootbreak.com. We list various places you can do that. And so that's, you know, for living. And then there's various ways that you can fund it, teaching English as a second language. Driving someone's car across country was one that we came across. A person went on Craigslist, and there's wealthy people who need to get their car from Massachusetts to California but don't want to drive it themselves and don't care how long you take to get it there. I mentioned Kathy Hornbach and Scott, her husband. They got laid off from Digital, I think, when they were in their mid-40s. And they said, you know, we don't have a lot of money and we're really going to have to buckle down, but let's have one last rahu before we do. And they decided to go to Asia, and they started researching the cheapest cruise they could find and ways to get there. And they found this cruise company out of England. While they were on the boat, they were basically with a lot of elderly people. They were definitely the youngest people there. This was back probably, I mean, this was several years ago. The people were not computer savvy, and the boat had internet, but none of these people knew how to get on it. And so Scott and Kathy went to the head of the ship and said, look, if you give us a room, we'll give a free lesson on how to do this and help these people out. It turned out they then started helping them how to use their digital camera and how to take pictures. And everybody raved about it so much. Since then, for, I don't know, the past 8 years, every 3 months, Kathy and Scott take a sabbatical and go on a cruise somewhere in the world. They get to pick where they go, and they work for free on the cruise ship. She's now the lecturer, so whatever country they're in, she comes up with free lectures on something to do with culture or food or something there. And he's the tech wizard on the boat, and that's how they fund a 3-month sabbatical every year. You know, so there's on and on different ways that you can actually creative ways that you can fund it while you're there as well. But there's Sherry, thank you for the question. There's a lot more in the book too.
Well, thank you for a great answer. Thank you.
This is Bob Morrison. I'd like to know about how to ask your manager for a sabbatical.
Okay. Two of my sabbaticals, one was the reason I came to Digital, and one was when I was at Digital, and I remember I went into my boss's office, and they just looked at me and, you know, just practically fell off the chair and said, "You've got to be mental." At that point, I was a sales manager, and I was a fairly new sales manager, and they said, "You've got to be mental," and I said, "No, I'm not, and I really need to do this," and I think I was asking for 4 months off, and this is how we're going to do it. What I recommend that you do is come in with the announcement written and come in with the plan of how your work is going to be handled when you're not there. And it doesn't have to be, you know, one person taking over your job. You can split your job among three people and show how you're building capacity. In my case, I said, "Hey, I've got two strong people that could eventually be sales managers. I suggest we make these two guys supervisors." And then Tony, who was my peer running another sales unit, I said he can oversee them and you know, be their mentor, and he can step in. I did go out for 4 months. I came back. I would have sworn I had only been out a week. Nothing had changed. By the way, sales were terrific. The guys did terrific. The two people who were supervised loved the experience. One went on to be a manager. The other one didn't because he didn't want to be. And the guy that used to be a little competitive that ran the other sales unit ended up being much more collaborative. And he said, "You know, you guys are really doing good things, and we're doing some things, and let's share some more." And our team started working better together. Now, I know it's not easy going into your boss and saying, you know, I need some time off. But first and foremost, there is the Medical Leave Act. And so you can say, if you choose to, I am, you know, under some personal stress because of family reasons or whatever. I really need to take this time off. Or you can choose other reasons, which is, you know, I've been here for years, and I simply yearn to travel, or I yearn to go volunteer for this organization because I'm not doing enough volunteerism in my life. Whatever the thing is, it's individual to each. And you say, "I know this is a surprise to you, but let me tell you why this is a benefit to you." And the reason we put in the number of companies who offer programs, and we have a bit about it in the book. The book's really for individuals, but is so that you, there's stories of people woven throughout this book so that you can go in and say, "Hey, while I'm out, here's who can take over. It's a great chance to prove them. Here's how these groups will work more closely together. Here's how the work's going to be handled. I can assure you I will come back recharged, re-energized. You know, I have every intention of coming back. And you will have a more grateful and resilient employee." And, you know, if you're a good performer. If you're not a good performer, then you're on a little bit of weak ice. But if you're a good performer, we found every case when there wasn't a sabbatical program, the companies found a way to do it.
Thanks.
Okay, anybody else have some questions?
Okay. Well, I want to thank people for taking time out of their busy schedules to be on this, and Ava, thanks for setting it up, and you know, feel free to visit our website that has lots of blogs and much more information on this. And I want to wish each and every one of you a life that's full of fun and happiness and passion and meets your dreams.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
We appreciate time and expertise, and I hope some of us will try some of these things. I know in In my time, it's been, I guess, 10 years since I stopped working full time, and I think I'm going to try putting together my little pie chart and see how I can broaden my horizons a little bit. So thank you again.
You're welcome.
Take care, everybody. And if you want to get in touch with Rita, what email address would you want people to use for you?
They could use Rita@rebootbreak.com.
Okay, terrific. Thanks again, and good evening, everybody, and take care.
Okay.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.